Every Easter, people around the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of them come to the Garden Tomb where I'm standing in Jerusalem. The question is why? What is so special about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What can it mean to you personally? And what if you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. Been studying the death of Jesus Christ. And yet there's another important element that we have to see, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because, precious one, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus Christ's death is absolutely in vain. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 27, and I want to start with verse 50. It says, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." John tells us that he shouted to Tetelestai, "It is finished." The debt for our sins had been paid. The question is, would God receive that debt? Would a holy God be satisfied with the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God? Well, the resurrection proves his satisfaction, and that's why it's so important. And it says in verse 51, "And behold, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened." This is a very significant phrase. "And the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." They were raised from the dead. Now, watch, though, what it says. "And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection," after his resurrection. What I want you to see, and I want you to mark in your Bible, because remember, it's so important to ask who and what and when and where and why and how. So when we ask those five W's in an H, one of the things we want to mark is time phrases. And what he's saying is that when Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished," when he died, when he gave up his spirit, then the tombs were open. Now, you can understand that in those days, in Bible times, that they were in sarcophagus, and it was just like a big clay box, and so those lids came off. If they were buried in tombs like the one behind me, then the doors, in a sense, or the stones were rolled away. But it's saying that the tombs, many were coming out of the tombs, but it says after his resurrection. So what you want to do is you want to put a clock over after, because it's very important. Jesus Christ had to be the first one that was raised from the dead. So it says, "After his resurrection, they entered the holy city, and they appeared to many." Now, can you imagine what it would be like? I mean, maybe you're in your little shop, and a friend walks in, and you know the friend, and he says, "Hello." And you look at him and you say, "Hey, Abe." And then all of a sudden you put your head down and you put your head back up, because Abe had died. And now here is Abe standing before you after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is going on? What is God doing? Because he's the one that raised him from the dead. Well, let's keep reading and we'll discover the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, "Now the centurion and those who were with him," with Jesus, "keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Because they realized that at the death of Jesus Christ, with the earthquake and with the rocks being split, that this was a divine action. It was not an action of man. And it says, "Many women were there looking from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to them. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. These were the ones that tended to Jesus. These were the ones that cooked for them. This is the ones that followed them and helped care for them. And it says, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. Now, remember what a disciple is. Remember what we've learned in the Gospel of Matthew. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a follower of a teacher. A disciple is one that comes to another person and says, teach me what you know and show me how to live according to the way that you live. And so Joseph of Arimathea, and Arimathea is where he is from, Joseph of Arimathea had become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And it says, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus Christ. Then Pilate ordered it be given to him. So he must have been a man with some chutzpah, because he goes right up to the governor and he says, I want the body of Jesus Christ. They take the body off the cross. Remember, as they take the body off the cross, they have not broken his legs because he's already dead. The soldier has stuck a spear in his side and his blood and water comes out, showing that he died of a ruptured heart. He died of a broken heart. That's what sin does. It breaks the heart of God. And so it says, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own tomb. I'm standing in front of a tomb that may be authentic and may not be authentic, and I don't think God really wants us to know the exact place of the burial of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why, because then we might venerate the place and we might forget the person, and we don't want to do that. Because it's not about a place, it's about what happened. It's about a resurrection from the dead. But we're in a garden that could be the garden because it meets a lot of the qualifications. Now, others say, no, it's the Holy Sepulchre in the center of Jerusalem. And that's a big church has been built over the Holy Sepulchre, the sepulchre where they believe that Jesus Christ was buried. And people will come from all over the world there, and they will get down and they will kiss the stone and they will rub the stone. But the thing is that we are not worshiping a dead man. That tomb behind me is absolutely empty. Let's find out what happened. Well, it says that this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean cloth, and laid it in a new tomb, which had been hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Now, when you come back to the tomb, what you see in front of that tomb is you see like a trough. And that trough is there because there was a huge stone there that they could roll in front of the door to the tomb. And that's what Joseph did. He took that body, laid it in there, and as he laid it in there, wrapped in linen cloths, then he rolled the stone and he walked away. Jesus was dead. You only bury a dead man. We know that he was dead. They had put a spear in his side. Blood and water had come out. The soldiers knew that he was dead, and that's why they did not break his legs, because they would break the legs, remember, because then he could not lift himself and do the process of inhaling and exhaling. And so they knew he was dead. And so they did not even break his legs. You have the testimony of the soldiers. You have the testimony of Pilate knows he's dead. Joseph of Arimathea knows he's dead. He's wrapped him up and he's put him in the tomb. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. So it's as if right now I'm sitting here where maybe Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sat, and I'm opposite the grave. And of course I'm grieved. I'm absolutely grieved. This is the man that I loved. This is the man that I cared for. This was a man like no other man on the face of this earth. This was a man that when you looked at him, there was absolute purity. There was absolute holiness. This was a man that if you wanted to honor God, you would follow, because he always and only did those things that pleased the Father. This is the man that turned water into wine. This is the man that made the lame to walk. This is the man that made the blind to see. This is the man that made the deaf to hear. This is the man that took away leprosy. This is the man that raised a child and others from the dead. This was the Christ. And you can imagine their grief. And it says, now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember when he was still alive that the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.'" You can imagine what it was like. They go to Pilate. They want to make sure that their case is absolutely secure. They have plotted his death. They have brought him to death. They have succeeded. But this deceiver said that on the third day he would rise again. And we don't want any hanky-panky, is what I would say today. They wouldn't say it then. But we don't want anything to spoil our plot. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. What do you know? You know that in a sense, there is a doubt. In a sense, there is a fear. And so this is what they say. "Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception, Pilate, would be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know how." And they went and they made the grave secure. Now remember, there's a stone over that door. So what do? They seal the door. They seal the door so that if that stone is rolled, the seal is broken. And they know and understand that someone has taken him away. So it says, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. And what is about to happen? Oh, beloved, it is the difference between life and death. Because if he doesn't rise again on the third day, first of all, he's told a lie. Second of all, the sign of Jonah the prophet does not come true. And third, you and I are dead in our sins. We'll talk about it in just a minute.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, "Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you."
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
What a privilege it is, my friend, to stand here in Jerusalem in front of the Garden Tomb and open my Bible to Matthew chapter 28 and to read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and know that that tomb behind me and his tomb, wherever it might be, that might be it or it might be another place, but you would never find the body of Jesus Christ. Though you dug up every tomb in all the world, you would not find the body of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is risen. Let's read about it. In chapter 28, it says in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, as I teach this. It's a Sabbath here in Jerusalem, and it's a different day than all the other days of the week. It is a day of rest. It's a day of family gatherings, and the Sabbath is a sense a holy day. It was a day of rest. So after the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, they could not do anything. They could not do any kind of work. They couldn't go near a dead body. So now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which would be a Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. Now, can you imagine? I mean, here the chief priests and the scribes have it all sealed up, and they think they've got it sealed up, and they think they've got their case made, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake, and that stone is rolled away, and the angel is perched on top of that. And remember now, angels didn't have wings. Okay, that was the cherubim and the seraphim, but when angels came to earth, they appeared as men. So it's like, here's this angel, this man sitting on top of the stone, and the guards and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I mean, they just couldn't, they were just dead. And it says, and the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. If I were to close the door to the tomb behind me, you would find out that the priest from England had put on the door, he is not here, he is risen. And it goes on to say, just as he said. That's a very important phrase and precious one. That's why we're studying the Bible. That's why we're discovering truth for ourselves. That's why we get the study guide, or I pray you're getting the study guide. And that's why I want you to see the text and mark the text and work with the text and understand the text. I want you to observe it. I want you to interpret it. I want you to apply it. I want you to live it. And that's what application is. You say, how do I live in the light of the resurrection? Well, you hold on, and we're going to talk about it. But I want you to see, it is just as he said. This is a book of pure, unadulterated truth, because this is God's book. God has spoken. Holy men, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote the very words of God. And he says, go, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Come in and see the place where he was lying. It's empty, absolutely empty. Now, if we would go to the other Gospels, we would get the fuller picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would see the headcloth wrapped one place. We would see the grave clothes laid aside another. But we would not see a body there. He is not here. He has risen. And then he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. You can imagine, they're taking off. The tomb is empty. They're running, and they want to tell the disciples the good news. He is not here. He is risen, just as he says. It's the third day, and all of a sudden, who do they run into? They run into the one who is risen from the dead. Rabboni, Rabboni. They see Jesus. Can you imagine the ecstasy? Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the affirmation? They know that he lives, just as he said. And it says, and behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Now, the word worship means to bow down. And so they were bowed down. They were prostrate. They were holding on to his feet. And it says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. And you know what, beloved? Because Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, you and I do not have to be afraid if we believe that Jesus is the Christ. If we believe that he is the Son of God, we never have to fear facing God. Because Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross and shed his blood, redeemed you. It means he bought you out of the slave market of sin. It means that he paid for your sins in full, absolutely, totally, completely. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to shrink back in shame at the coming of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do that. When you see him face to face, you don't have to drop your eyes. You can look at him and you can take in all of his beauty. Why? Because your sins have been paid for in full. And do you know what? It's the resurrection that proves that your sins have been paid for in full. Because if that tomb still had the body of Jesus Christ, if any tomb in the whole wide world had the body of Jesus Christ, then your faith and my faith would be absolutely in vain. Absolutely in vain, precious one, because he died, and he died just like every other human being did. And so if there's no resurrection, then your faith and my faith is in vain. And we are of all people to be pitied. But because there is a resurrection, you and I do not have to be afraid. You may be facing death. You may have gotten the word from the doctor that you have a terminal disease. And you may have been afraid. But I want to tell you something. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you acknowledge that he is the Son of God, that he is the only way to God, and you believe in him, you receive him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your God, if you bow down, if you worship him, then I can promise you that when you die, you pass from death to life. It's absent from the body, and it's present with the Lord. And it's present with the Lord, precious one, because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. God's word to you and God's word to me today is, he is not here. He is risen. The tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty and because he was raised the third day, just as he said, you and I do not have to be afraid of God. Because the minute that you believe in Jesus, he puts his spirit inside of you. And when he puts his spirit inside of you, Jew or Gentile, and there's only two categories of men, and those are Jews and those are Gentiles, Goyim of the nations. Whoever received Jesus, then they can cry because God puts his spirit within, Abba, Father. And his spirit, God's spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he loves us with a perfect love, and perfect love casts out all fear. He is not here. He is risen. Do not be afraid if he's your Savior. But if he's not, then you need to fear.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened.
Oh, beloved, do you wish that you could be here with me? I want you to know, I wish that you could be here with me also. I want to talk to you about what is our precept for life today. What does it mean that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead? I think it means this. You do not have to be afraid of God. You can know this, as it says in Romans chapter 8, that if God loved us so much that he did not spare his only son, but if he delivered him up for us all, will he not with him, with Jesus, give us everything that pertains to life? Everything that you and I need is there for living a godly life. And we can live that way, precious one, because the tomb behind me is absolutely empty. The tomb behind me, on the door it says, he is not here, he is risen. Wouldn't you love to walk inside of there? Wouldn't you love to be able to stand there and to pray and to thank God that the tomb is empty? We're going to take you inside the tomb. We're going to take you through the door, and we're going to show you where the body was laid, so that vicariously, as soon as this program is over, you can go and you can be quiet. And I would suggest that you read the end of every gospel, that you read the account of the resurrection, and you're going to see all the different witnesses that God brought to show that he is not here, he is risen. And then I would suggest that you get down on your knees, precious one, and you thank God for the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. Do you know that that's what comprises the gospel? Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, and the third day he was raised again from the dead. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And then thank God for that good news. And then if you have not received Jesus Christ, there on your knees, say, my Lord and my God, I believe. And when you do that, precious one, you'll never have to be afraid, because immediately you become bone of his bone. You become part of the body of Jesus Christ. And he promises you that he will give you the gift of eternal life. It says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. His arms are open wide as Calvary. And he says, I love you. I've been raised from the dead. Believe. I'm not here. I've been raised. Believe and receive me.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.